there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Oh, hey, this party's really popping off, Jeff. Oh, we gotta splash a little nog in these drinks. Sorry, listeners, I didn't see you there.
Oh, listeners, oh, God.
This is one of those horror for the holiday stocking stuffers you hear so much about.
Boo. Boo, stocking stuffer, more main episodes.
Oh, we're having a party over here.
Chatter.
Yeah, just there's lots going on. We gotta splash up some eggnog here.
Pass me another one of those alcoholic beverages.
Throw another nog on the fire.
Yep, throw another eggnog on the fire.
Here. All right, we're gonna polish off this quart of eggnog, have some hot cocoa flavored cookies, and talk about a coloring book.
Yes, but a very special coloring book, Jay.
Before we get started, though, get into any, watch any spooky stuff, do any spooky stuff this past 2 weeks?
Well, I mean, just me walking around is pretty spooky for a lot of people, Jay. I mean, I've been to some places at some times. We won't talk about that on the air. But, no, the spookiest thing I've been up to was I saw a trailer for the Blumhouse Wolfman again.
Yeah. Oh, did we see that before Red One? Was that
yes,
the...
Yes, that was also there. I don't know. It looks interesting. I might give it a try.
We did. I thought it looked interesting. No, Red One was
yes,
a lot of fun.
Red One was great.
But we might do like a mini stocking stuffer maybe afterwards about it.
Yeah.
I did. I watched Smile 2.
Ah, finally.
And it was a lot of fun. I realized like. I'm like, oh, well, they, you know, I wouldn't get invited to any of these parties because, like, all the times that, what's her name would have been having something, Snow, is that her last name?
Sky Riley,
you know, was having, like, meltdowns. I would have just, like, if I had been, like, at the party where, like, the teleprompter malfunctioned, I would have been like, ha! Like,
yeah.
When she mentioned the name of her dead boyfriend.
That's Jay Lockster for you. No, that movie, honestly, I saw Terrifier 3, and then like 2 days after that I saw Smile 2. I was like, wow, this fucked me up a lot more than Terrifier did.
I really enjoyed it. The two issues I had were the big eyes.
Oh yeah,
thought those looked ridiculously silly. And then the big set piece at the end with the monster coming out.
Yeah.
I thought the monster looked incredibly dumb.
I mean, yeah, that's a carryover from Smile 1. The monster looked ridiculous in that one, too.
So those points were really made me. I'm just like, this is what you thought to make? Like, all this build up for a bunch of pixels on a screen? Like, come on, guys.
Yeah, it's just, see, that's what got me in the first one, too. It's like the tension and the build up and everything was great. But then, yeah, at the end, when you see what the monster actually looks like, it's like, oh. Okay.
But I am excited to see, like, kind of where they go from here.
Oh, they set it up for a great sequel.
And yeah, like, I really enjoyed it. I also made a lot of trap jokes.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, what? I'm like, who's going to be her dream girl?
Is this M. Night Shyamalan's trap?
I was like, oh, is Sky Riley's whole concert a trap to catch the butcher?
Turns out her concert was a trap, but not for the butcher.
For all the people in attendance.
But no, just the twist. I mean, M. Night Shyamalan should watch Smile 2 to see what a good twist looks like.
Remind himself of what a good twist looks like.
Yeah.
No, that was a great... I kind of saw it coming, but...
I had my suspicions as the movie drug on, but I'm like, I don't know. They've done a good job of painting it either way.
Do we want to do like a 30-second spoiler?
Sure.
All right, if people do want to see Smile 2, fast forward like a minute or whatever.
Yeah.
I was pretty convinced that the friend wasn't real because, like, the mom didn't say anything to her.
Yeah.
That was, like, the whole time it was going on, I'm kind of like, The mom didn't say anything to her. Like, well, I don't know if...
The guy trying to stop the monster also isn't real. That's what got me.
Yep.
I was like, I thought the friend was probably not there, but him not being there.
Yeah, that it was all kind of like a hallucination. Yeah. It was wild.
It was like, yeah, even any chance of stopping it. No, that was just a hallucination.
Oh, man. What a movie. All right.
Yep. All right. Now, spoilers are over.
All right. Anyway, so we're back. And we're gonna see how a visual product translates to a audio medium. Oh, shit. Drop my pen.
Well, I'm holding in my hand, Jay, Fright Rags books, A Big Naughty Activity book. I wonder, is there a famous Christmas horror character that says naughty, Jay? I can't think of one.
Nope. Can't think of one off the top of my head.
Weird. Weird thing to theme a whole book around.
No, we got the Silent Night, Deadly Night activity book. Games, coloring, and punish.
Of course. You don't want to leave out the punish.
I ordered like a couple of these, and then I was like, I don't know if those will show up. Like, I pre-ordered them through my comic book service, and I was like, I don't know if those will show up, so I pre-ordered them through like Fright Rags. So I then got all the stuff I ordered together.
Nice.
But yeah, so we'll see. I gave Jeff, one coloring book, and the rule was to do some coloring, and then we'll talk about kind of what we did on the air. And, then we're maybe going to see how solving crossword puzzles translates to a audio medium.
Oh, we'll do an exciting play by play. You're going to find out what it's like to have a crossword puzzle. I think we got a word search, which is all naughty and punish. We got Bob sledding down the hill to find somebody's head. It's great.
So you open up the book immediately. This activity book belongs to St. Mary's Home for Orphan Children.
Awesome.
Great.
It looks like it's written in blood.
First page is Grandpa yelling at Billy, "You see Santa Claus tonight? You better run, boy."
I was really impressed with the quality of the print on the images.
So I drew Grandpa looking like a real asshole, yep, grabbing Billy's arm.
Very good. Nice shading on the grandpa.
I figured we'll post some of the images online.
All right, we could do like our Instagram.
And so, yeah, we'll get to the sled later after we kind of talk about what we did. And then I colored the killer Santa murdering Billy's mom.
Oh, yeah. Got to do that. And then we got the nun spanking Billy, of course. Classic scene.
I did a lot for that one. I wrote, "William, were you peeping on those hot young teens?"
He was.
And that's all I wrote.
But luckily, he wasn't peeping on them in Silent Night, Deadly Night 2 when they turned into gross old people.
They were different people.
Gross, middle-aged people.
And then we got a crossword puzzle, which we'll get to.
What happened to his hot young teens?
And then we gotta connect the dots to find out
who's a crazy old fool.
Oh, I'm sure it's not Grandpa.
I love that line so much. Grandpa's just a crazy old
fool.
Don't
bother with Grandpa Billy. He's just a crazy old fool. And then you got Billy talking about drinking his milk.
Yes, you shouldn't talk like that.
So I wrote, "On the warm side of the door." And then I like drew some red lines like to kind of hint at the Santa Claus thing.
Excellent.
Probably my most artistic piece.
Yes.
And then I did a little bit of coloring of...
The Santa, Billy strangling the guy with lights.
Strangling that dick.
Yeah. A wonderful individual, Jay. He was so great.
And then we got our word search, which we'll get to. We got to spot the difference.
Oh, I mean, if you can't spot this difference, you're blind.
Then, Jeff, you drew this picture. It's yeah. Billy as Santa.
I tried to do an impressionist piece here.
I think it looks great.
Wow, thank you.
And then the last page, the page I didn't get to yet is Billy putting Linnea Quigley up on the antlers.
Yes, this is the one I was interested in coloring.
So we'll probably post these as time goes by as we get to them, but... Just a fun little thing to do to kill time, but yeah, let's drink some nog here. I'll open up these cookies.
Throw another eggnog on the fire. Eat some hot cocoa cookies. It'll be delicious. It'll be great. Oh, and Jay doesn't realize yet that when we're done with this activity book, he's got a little surprise in the store for him.
Grab some Chips Ahoy hot cocoa cookies.
Ooh, those smell really good.
I think they're the soft ones too.
Good, good, good. I prefer the soft batch from Chips Ahoy.
There's a time and a place for a crispy cookie. There's a time and a place for a soft cookie.
Really good.
I think it's got some marshmallow.
Mm-hmm.
Little marbit pieces in the cookie.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's get to activity-ing.
All right.
Wash it down with a little bit of nog.
There's no nog like AE nog.
Yeah. All the listeners out there not from Iowa, do yourself a favor. Try to figure out how to get Anderson Erickson eggnog. It's the best eggnog around.
Also the best dip, which apparently is a regional thing.
Yeah, it's an Iowa thing. We have sour cream dip that we dip our chips in.
We have good dip, apparently, and nobody else does. I just thought that was something.
Or no one else does it? I don't even know.
Weird.
All right, so first things first, Bob's sleheading trip. Can you help Bob down the hill to find his head? It's the scene where the two boys are going to go sledding, and then the two bullies like show up, and they're like, oh, wouldn't it be really funny if we kissed each other? Like,
yeah.
And so they beat up the two kids and take their sleds, and then they go sledding, and Billy chops one of their heads off, Bob's head off.
Nice. I like it.
All right, I'm going to... Should I just go into the maze blind, see if I can figure it out?
I guess. Let's see what we could do here.
All right, I'm going to start.
So we can go that way. This is it doesn't look like it's super difficult, but it's not easy.
I already reached a dead end.
Because you can't cross the lines, right? That's the little thing.
Yeah, I don't think you can cross the lines.
Can't cross the streams.
Or maybe you can cross the lines. Maybe if there's a connecting piece, you can cross the lines.
Well, I was going to say we have to be able to cross, because I don't see any way to get through without crossing one. Because if you cross just that one point... Okay, I reached Bob's head. I think that's the route I took, because I only crossed the path one time doing that.
Maybe.
So I don't know. Because I can't see any way you go without crossing something.
I kind of got there, but I also don't know.
Well, the answer...
Let's flip it to the back of the book.
I say, it says the answer's on the last page, so... Oh, okay. So it was kind of...
So no, you couldn't cross lines, looks like.
So it's kind of... It was the same general direction I went in, but I was supposed to veer off to the left, apparently, and then that would have been it.
All right, well...
Well, we suck at mazes, Jay.
What else is new? Suck at podcasting. Suck at talking about movies. Suck at mazes.
We suck.
All right, well, let's see if we can figure out... Oh, sorry, no, let's do the crossword puzzle first.
Oh, we gotta do this crossword puzzle.
All right, two across, the warm side of the blank. boob.
Yep.
Door?
Door? Door day?
Four across, what is the last line of the movie? I believe it's Ricky saying punish, or maybe it's naughty.
It's naughty. Because I was like, why the hell didn't he say punish?
What is Billy's favorite beverage? Seven across.
Milk.
Milk.
Gotta have that milk. Nine across. Who runs the orphanage? I'm guessing they're
Mother
looking,
Superior?
I'm guessing they're looking for Mother Superior.
I don't think she has a real first name. Lillian Chauvin. What do bullies Bob and Max steal from the two kids? Sleds.
Yep, their sled. What is Billy's brother's name? Well, obviously we know that.
Yep. What'd you get?
Ricky.
Oh, shit, that's right.
We're not cheating. Shh. One down. What hunting equipment does Billy use on Mrs. Randall?
Bow and arrow.
Yeah, so that's got to be the bow and arrow. Oh, well, Naughty must have been right. Okay, what gift does Billy give little Cindy?
It's technically a box cutter.
Yeah.
I think it's box cutter.
As I say, yeah, that's what.
Earlier today, I heard someone refer to it as like he gives her a knife, and I'm like, it's not a knife, it's a box cutter.
Well, say so some people call box cutters utility knives, but yeah, it's a box cutter. What is Billy's last name? Well, that depends on the movie. I'm thinking they're looking for Chapman.
I believe they're looking for Chapman as well, seeing as we already have a P. Caldwell just doesn't fit.
It doesn't. We just write it, even though there's not enough boxes. This is how we do crosswords.
Oh, what is Denise impaled on? Antlers.
Yep.
That was five down.
Antlers, of course. Where does Billy work? Ira's Toys?
Yep, Ira's Toys.
Oh boy, this is going to be real bad if we can't remember what was on the front of the thing.
Oh shit. What Saint Blank's home for orphaned children?
Marvin's.
All right.
It's Mary's.
I think we did it.
I think it was medium diff.
Yeah, there wasn't like a Yulee's gold. All right, let's see if we can figure out, connect the dots, and find out who is nothing but a crazy old fool.
All right, here we go. see if I can beat Jay at this, listeners.
I think you're ahead of me.
Oh, boy. This has got to be one of the easiest connect the dots I've ever seen. They're almost all just in order. Not even any curves or turns. Interesting.
There you go, Jay. He's just a crazy old fool.
Oh, mine turned into a mirror, and it was a reflection of my face.
Oh.
Jeff got grandpa for some reason.
Yeah. Oh, come on, Jay. You're not old.
All right. So, the Billy's word search is naughty and punish, and then the word Billy one time in a Christmas tree.
Oh, my God.
I do see naughty. I do see punish at least once.
Oh, I see a bunch of them. Are we circling or crossing?
I'll probably circle.
All right. Okay. I see a naughty there. There's a punish. Let's see. There's a naughty. I don't know. I'm liking, were these the sticker price?
I think they were about, they were 8 or 10.
That's not bad for what you get.
And then there was, there might've been, it was either Halloween 2 or maybe Trick or Treat where that was the other set, or maybe it was something completely different, but I know they've put out at least one more of these.
Ah, but yeah, it's, it was the pictures and the, like the quality of the print and everything on it was higher than I was expecting.
Oh, it even goes backwards.
Oh, yeah. So there's also some diagonal ones. They're employing all the tricks. All three tricks.
All three tricks?
All three Frenchins. That nog is great.
Oh, it's so good. Honestly, nice. I thought us splitting a thing of nog would be a lot more difficult than I think it's going to turn out being.
Yeah, it's not going to be difficult at all. Oh, man. I know there's got to be more in here.
That's the thing. I don't know that we're going to be able to find all of them on the air.
There's Punish again.
This is making for a riveting podcast.
Oh, yeah. This is great. You know, when I sign up to listen to a podcast, I hope there's long stretches of just the host breathing and talking about eggnog on the damn word search. It's great.
All right. Well, anyway, I'm at least going to look for Billy, see if I can find that before
I found him.
All right.
How many have you found total so far?
Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I found 9. Oh, for 10, I did find Billy.
Yeah, with Billy, I found 11. Mostly punishes. And some naughties.
Yeah, I think I got more punishes, too. I think punish might be easier to find.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the naughties are backwards, so it makes them harder to spot.
I had 2 back-to-back punishes.
Nice.
Oh, there. All right, we're tied at 11.
All right. I just found 2 more. I win.
Oh, motherfucker.
But yeah, I mean, it's fun, especially if your kid's into it. I'm sure they would enjoy a book such as this.
All right, it's now time for the hardest one. Circle the Santa that doesn't belong.
Oh, gee, could it be the one with the button missing on his coat? I spotted that immediately.
Right?
I was like, you motherfuckers.
It's B. That's it. I don't think there's anything else.
Nope, we did it. Activity book complete.
Man, I feel like a genius after doing that. minus the maze, which we did horribly. Yes. At.
Both of us combined can figure out the maze.
Classic horror for the holidays episode.
Could probably bring one of your kids in here and they'd do it in like 5 seconds.
Oh, they absolutely would.
We're so great.
Man, what an episode. Like I said, I'll take pictures of all the stuff posted online. People can kind of get a gist, at least see some of Jeff and my great artwork.
Are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
Well, Jay, would you say that Silent Night, Deadly Night is one of your favorite Christmas horror movies?
Yeah, I'd say I'd
it's up there.
I'd put it up there.
Yeah.
I think earlier today I made some joke to my wife. I was like, you know, there's somebody out there whose like favorite film franchise is The Crow. And, like, is really disappointed with that new Crow movie. And I'm like, I mean, there's people out there whose favorite film franchise of all time is Silent Night, Deadly Night. And you're married to one of them.
All right, Jay. Well, it turns out people are still watching this movie.
All right.
Even to this day. And I've compiled a choice selection of takes on this franchise for you.
Hoo boy!
Especially the first two. So this is in reference to Silent Night, Deadly Night 1. 1 star. This is by Tex Rabbit, by the way.
Oh.
So we're dealing with an animal.
go back to Texas.
I'm fascinated.
with classic horror films. But this film is just a laughably bad, cynical cash grab trying to hop on the slasher bandwagon.
Aren't most of them?
Probably, in my opinion, one of the worst films ever made.
Well, this is a guy who hasn't seen very many movies.
It seems as if the makers of this film think horror movies are nothing more than cheap jump scares and unnecessary cruelty.
I don't know that there's very many jump scares in this movie.
This was from 2 weeks ago, by the way. It's just a boring and mean-spirited motion picture. Along with annoying characters and a poorly done and desperate ad campaign trying to stir controversy at the time, whoever was behind the marketing should be questioned immediately. The backlash, while understandable, could have been avoided if the parents had told their children, don't watch it and don't make movies like this. There are two better holiday-themed horror films to this day. They're timeless classics, Black Christmas, 1974, and Christmas Evil, 1980.
I mean, yeah, there's no, those are also classics, yeah.
If you're into this kind of B-movie trash, I might understand this might appeal to some supporters of this film. Oh, it's just a mindless B-movie with a sympathetic killer backstory. And I admit the concept of childhood trauma is good on paper, and the cinematography was well done. I love the retro look of the film. It's pretty amazing. Good work.
The retro look of a movie that was made in 84. Yeah. It looks like it was made in 1984.
I know, crazy, right? But overall, the direction, screenplay, acting, and score are overwhelmingly poorly executed.
How the fuck? The fuck you say about Warm Side of the Door?
Yeah.
I will find you, Tex Rabbit.
Oh, I knew this was going to get Jay. I genuinely don't understand why there's so much backlash against the Siskel and Ebert review. In actuality, I can understand where they're coming from. You're getting triggered over a review made in 1984. Grow up. Nobody cares. This movie deserves its negative reviews. They exist, and I've read them.
And I wrote one, too.
You can easily predict how events would unfold. You're sitting there shaking your head as you watch a bunch of crime footage stitched together. The obvious thing to do was just place Billy with a therapist. It's the most obvious thing to do and would have spared us an hour of our lives.
The obvious thing to do would have been getting Billy help. Yes, you're right. That it doesn't happen. That's the part of the issue is that he's in an orphanage run by the Catholic Church and they refuse to admit that he has a problem.
Mother Superior deserved what she got in the sequel. However, she was an insufferable moron. The filmmakers were too scared to show a decapitation in front of children, so they said screw it and gave this weird walking piece of trash a second life. Why does Billy decide to randomly enter someone's house when he has zero indication of what goes on? Who are these people? Do they have anything to do with Billy? And how are the cops this stupid at their jobs?
Has he interacted with cops? Like 60% of crimes go unsolved? Like
something like that. How is Billy tall enough to impale someone on a set of antlers? Seriously, this movie's storytelling and logic are a complete travesty. Yes, I understand why people enjoy this film, because people are stupid. And for a slasher film, they do actually develop the perpetrator's backstory well. That gives the film a sort of cautionary tale vibe. There are some wholesome moments here and there, and Warm Side of the Door is honestly an underrated gem.
Hells yeah, dude! Like, you're saying some great stuff, you're just wrong!
But, however, none of the characters' actions justify Billy's actions. In conclusion, Silent Night, Deadly Night contains good special effects and visuals, but its jumbled up, illogical screenplay is an utter disappointment.
Also, I want to go back to the stitching crime footage together. Uh-huh. And I'm like, this is like that meme where it's like watching Saw and shaking my head at all the murder scenes to let the other people know that I disagree with what I'm watching.
To conclude that review, 1 out of 5 stars. I like Pamela's tits, though.
All right. That's fair.
Yeah, there you go.
I watched it with a friend recently. I watched Silent Night, Deadly Night with a friend recently, and he was like, he turned to me, he was like, Linnea Quigley, he's like, is she topless in this one? I was like, oh yeah.
1 star, just brutal acting. It was about as scary as Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. The movie was so bad it was hilarious and a great stress reliever. Having said that, it might have been scary back in 1984.
I mean, that's fair. That's absolutely a fair statement to make. Like,
but why would you give it 1 star for that?
Right. Like that. I think you watch a lot of movies that were made. Like, yes, Black Christmas. Like, kind of still makes my hair stand on end, and I've seen it countless times. But there are other movies that, like, I've watched, you know, that, like, I watched from, like, the and like 80s and 70s. I think they're still well-made movies, even though I don't find them scary. Like, that's just part of a thing. Like, I don't think that's a reason to dock a movie.
And our final one. One star. Was kind of into this movie, and then I heard this terrible song, Warm Side of the Door.
What the fuck?
What is this cringe doing in the middle of a slasher movie? This has completely taken me out of the movie. I honestly don't even want to keep watching after that song plays.
You know what? I get it. It is a very weird set piece that it just pops up in the middle of the movie.
I have always found that very odd that they chose to do that, especially because it's not like at the beginning or the end. It is like literally in the middle of the movie.
And then it just like it almost goes to like a Rocky style or like a kids putting stuff together yes, montage.
It is an 80s montage.
Like, and it's just in the middle of a horror movie, which I don't think I've ever seen in another horror movie.
Nope. I don't even think any of the sequels do it.
And you know, you could say, you know, like there's, I think there's like a montage in Deadly Games of Rambo Kid getting it, like kind of like getting ready.
Yeah.
But that's different. It's one, also, that, one that movie's French.
I see. It's also French. So does that really count?
But like, I don't, but that movie's just like, that montage in that movie is different. This is like over multiple like weeks. This is like watching time pass as Warm Side of the Door plays.
I can't. Speaking of the Siskel and Ebert review, have you ever seen anything, speaking of cringe, more cringe than them trying to like call out the people who made the movie? Have you actually seen that review?
I did see. I haven't seen the whole thing, but I've seen like, there was like, I want to say it was like an Entertainment Tonight, like when it got, so Silent Night, Deadly Night got pulled, and then it got re-released like after the controversy had kind of died down with the new advertising campaign kind of being like, see the movie that America didn't want you to see kind of thing. And I saw like an Entertainment Tonight clip, and it was pairing like one of the producers and then it was like playing the Siskel and Ebert review. Mm-hmm. And basically like the guy just calls him out. He's like, Clearly, you didn't have any issue, like any real issue with the movie. Because if you had any real issue with the movie, instead of like, you know, tearing it down, you would have just said, don't see it. It's bad. Don't see it. Or you wouldn't talk about it at all. Like, we don't deign this movie worth our discussion because we find it so offensive. No, instead, you spend like 20 minutes talking about it, which is going to make people want to see it.
Exactly. Well, and just the, they called all of the people involved with making the movie out by name to try and get them harassed by all these. Apparently, the 80s was the age of the stay-at-home mom getting upset about entertainment-related things.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know.
It's 2020. Everything from the 80s is new again.
I was gonna say, it's coming back. I mean, you're also talking about a year where we had Night of the Comet, Gremlins. I believe Don't Open Until Christmas.
Gremlins, the movie that made the R rating exist, made the PG-13 rating exist. It's one of the last PG movies before PG-13 came into existence.
Yes, I believe you are correct, sir.
Not to mention, literally came out the same weekend as Nightmare on Elm Street, a movie about a child murdering like Dream Hunter. You know, and it's like, oh, but like the kind of schlocky slasher about a killer Santa Claus. Like, yeah, that's the.
But I mean, this is nothing. The whole thing that gets me is this was nothing new because Christmas Evil had already come out.
To All a Good Night had already come out.
Yes. One of Jay's favorites, My Bloody Valentine had already come out, which is what was considered at the time horribly violent.
And I would say that movie's more violent.
It is
than this
more
one.
Brutal than this movie by far. I mean, Halloween 2 had come out by then.
You get the Denise kill, the Lillian, or not Lillian Chauvin. Of course, now I'm drawing a now my mind's blank. The antlers.
Yeah.
Like you see the antlers poking out afterwards, but the impaling takes place in shadow.
You're talking about Linnea Quigley.
Yeah, Linnea Quigley. There we go. In Silent Night or Silent Night, in My Bloody Valentine, you literally watch the pickaxe puncture skin in quotes.
Mm-hmm.
Like much more gory and brutal.
Well, I was going to say, if you're talking about kid deaths, Halloween 3 had already been out before this.
Yep.
So, like, children being traumatized or whatever was also nothing new.
All right. Well, do you want to hit those Silent Night, Deadly Night 2 reviews?
All right. Any of those? Oh, do I have any of those, Jay? I know, arguably, I think, even though he would say that Silent Night, Deadly Night is the better movie, he likes Silent Night, Deadly Night 2 more.
That is absolutely true. Also, it needs to be said, I believe that Mickey Rooney was one of the people who came out against Silent Night, Deadly Night, and he's in Silent Night, Deadly Night 5.
Well, you know, Jay, what can you do?
Gotta get that paycheck.
Silent Night, Deadly Night 2. Is this trash even a movie? Could this even be called its own movie?
Yes.
Half of another movie.
Yeah, and?
I read that the director of this was actually just supposed to do a recut version of the original and decided that he would do his own story instead.
There might be some truth to that.
Well, I think he should have left well enough alone because this trash is not worth your time, not even on garbage day.
Disagree. But hey, did the thing.
And Eric Freeman cannot act. I repeat, cannot act.
Disagree. Eric Freeman's great.
You would have better luck acting against a wooden post, and you could see that the actors in scenes with him struggle greatly.
I don't think they do. I don't. That's the thing. I don't think anyone else in Silent Night, Deadly Night 2 was like a huge name actor either. Like,
this movie is full of nonsense. Red car. What does that even mean?
That's a good question.
Other than the memes I see, and he put memes in italics and quotations.
I mean, but they are memes, right?
Like, floating around the internet about this pipe bomb. I hate it. I hope I never have the misfortune of hearing anyone else praise it in my presence again.
Oh, don't listen to this podcast.
So, how are you feeling about that one, Jay?
Guy's a real spoil sport.
The worst movie of all time? Question mark?
No, far from it.
If this could even be called a movie. Oh, wow, original.
Hey, it's like we just heard that line.
I would give this 0 stars if I could.
Oh, hey, I heard that line before, God, too.
We're hitting all the old classics, Jay. I don't even think anyone with half a brain could enjoy this.
Durr.
Eric Freeman is the worst actor I have ever seen.
Once again, no.
I obviously haven't seen very many actors.
Yeah, I haven't seen very many actors.
I don't even understand how this has a cult, quote-unquote, following.
The Room has a cult following. Like, the fuck are you talking about?
It's funny that you mentioned that, Jay. Even trash, like The Room, is somewhat entertaining. But this has no value whatsoever.
What?
It is pointless. It is literally just a guy who couldn't possibly remember any of the things he's talking about, recounting the first movie for you again, including scenes he's not even in, and would have no way of knowing about, like the two policemen patrolling for his brother.
I know, it's great, right? You kind of read about that in the newspaper.
It even comes up, the people who wrote this pipe bomb, there's that again, must have known, because they even bring it up themselves when the guy interviewing him says, how could you possibly remember that? It is so bad, I thought I was watching a documentary about the making of a terrible movie.
Well, that's a new one. What a strange thing to think, but that's a new one.
Well, those are the two best ones I found for Silent Night, Deadly Night 2.
I still think about, there was a TikTok user, Andrew Hoare, passed away earlier this year, RIP, had stage 4 cancer. Had one of my favorite things on TikTok, which would be, like, taking TikTok trends and then just adding, Jason X, evil, gets an upgrade. Andrew Hoare hated Silent Night, Deadly Night 2, but then would do these things where it was, like, another person talking to them, but playing both parts, and it would be like, oh, what you watching, Silent Night, Deadly Night 2? Oh, I hate that movie. And, you know, all it is, but you like Silent Night, Deadly Night 1. Yeah, so you at least like half of Silent Night, Deadly Night 2.
That's a good point.
Yep.
But wait, is that another review of Silent Night, Deadly Night 1 coming in from offstage?
Uh-oh.
It's coming for Jay with the steel chair.
Oh, watch out!
Trash. one star, but would give it zero if I could.
Oh, fuck.
What a pointless waste of time. How this stands up to any of the other famous slashers, I have no idea. Not gory enough by a long shot. I've seen Saw. This is supposed to make me flinch.
I mean, once again, you've seen a movie that came out in the 2000s with 2000s era effects and budget. And a studio budget relatively compared to a movie with a 1980s studio budget and 1980s effects. Like, no, you're right, dude. I can't believe this movie's not Saw.
There's a reason that I pulled this, and it's because of this next line, Jay.
Oh, I can't wait to hear it.
It's almost as bad as the travesty of a film, if you can call it that, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
What the
that
fuck?
People have tried to get me to enjoy multiple times. Even going as so far as to a prospective girlfriend dragging me to a showing of it last week, which I promptly showed her the door for showing me such trash.
Is this a negative review of 1974's Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
You would think so, but no. Sir Silent Night Deadly Night. That was just an aside. He was tipping his fedora at us, showing how many movies he's seen.
He doesn't have a girlfriend.
Well, I know. Well, obviously not, Jay, because all keep trying to get him to watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Obviously, you're not going to put up with that shit.
All these girls I want to date, all these imaginary women, are all trying to get me to watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I am a great critic. I, at the age of 19, have watched 74 films and reviewed them all. Wow.
That's unimpressive. At the age of 19, has only watched 74 movies?
I know, that did seem kind of low. It's like, I probably watched at least that many just between 0 and 10.
Right? Like, what?
But, yeah. But anyway, Jay, we're dealing with a critic here.
Man, I mean, that's the thing. I don't think we're great critics, and we do this every other week.
Well, Jay, don't worry. There's no point in any of you sharing... He locked this post, by the way. There's no point in any of you sharing your dullard opinions. I have no interest in the bleeding of all the sheeple who think that they can tell me that this is a good movie. It is objectively not.
Is this from Reddit?
Yes.
This might be the same dude that like got mad about the Halloween sequels online. Do you remember I told you about that guy? This might be that same guy.
It could very well be.
The talking about being a professional critic. Had a friend of mine message him that was like, oh, you're a critic, huh? Can I see your criticisms? Like, let me see your work, bro.
I am so tired of people trying to think they can explain what makes a movie good to me. I think all of you should know that I am a genius, and I get to decide what is good and what is bad. You were not born for this. I was.
Amazing.
I was born for this, Jay.
Yep.
This movie is trash with six S's.
This guy, if this guy's such a genius, he needs to make his own movie. And I will gladly watch it.
Well, we'll never know, probably.
Yeah, we'll never know. He's an anonymous internet coward.
And with that, Jay, I think we're about done.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week for our annual Christmas episode. We're going to talk about Black Christmas 2019. Yay. Not an overly popular movie, but we set the standard of watching Black Christmas movies right before Christmas.
We have. And unfortunately, we have to follow this tradition.
Yep. We got to follow this to its logical conclusion.
You know why we have to follow it, Jay?
Why?
Because we're critics. We were born for this.
We were certainly made for this. But no, we set the standard. So next year it'll probably be either both parts of It's Me, Billy, the fan film, or at least one part, and then we might do the second part the next year. But we'll cross that bridge when we get there. For now, make sure you follow us on social media. We're at all the places, at @horror4holidays, horror4holidays. Send us an email, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com.
Follow us on YouTube, youtube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell, which is the real subscribe button. Leave us comments. Let us know what you think. Let us know if you are actually the world's greatest critic, and your opinion is what matters.
Oh, man. I hope a couple of world's greatest critics write in. I would love to talk to them about how what our criticism could use to improve.
Yes, indeed.
We're also, what, 5-star podcast review? Yeah. Tell us how bad the podcast is. We'll only read your review if it's 5 stars. We don't want 1-star reviews. We're not gonna listen to your criticism if it's 1 stars. 5 stars only.
Yeah, we're not wasting time.
And also, we're proud to be members of the Christmas Podcast Network. All sorts of great Christmas podcasts out there. Season's Eatings, Tis the Season, stuff like that. Jerry D's Totally Rad Christmas. Just celebrating 300 episodes. So that's awesome.
It is indeed awesome.
Maybe go check it out. So your favorite Horror for the Holidays hosts. I mean, maybe there's better Horror for the Holidays. Maybe the listeners have better Horror for the Holidays hosts. You're the host of this podcast.
The host of the show, yes.
Are involved in it in some way. We'll just say that.
Yes, there's something. And we were also on an episode talking about Deadly Games.
Yeah, which is another fun Christmas horror movie. Can't wait to review that on this show.
Someday.
Anyways, we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
We will see you next week on the warm side of the door.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.